The Israeli military launches fresh deadly airstrikes on the besieged Gaza Strip as the death toll from resistance groups' attacks on occupied territory soars to 800. Iran slams Western countries' support for Israel as unacceptable, stressing Palestinians' right to defend themselves. And people across the world take to the streets to voice their solidarity with Palestinians in their battle against Israeli aggression. Hello and welcome to World News, coming to you live from our international studios right here in Tehran. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Israel says it has conducted a barrage of airstrikes and artillery fire on Gaza, targeting over 1,000 locations. The regime says the strikes have hit many multi-story buildings, causing significant damage. Israeli assaults on the Gaza Strip have claimed 560 lives since Saturday. More than 2,900 Palestinians have also been injured. The UN says the number of displaced individuals in Gaza has surpassed 123,000 since the conflict erupted. Meantime, Hamas resistance movement says its fighters captured more Israeli soldiers on the second day of the Al-Aqsa flood operation. Resistance fighters have targeted Israeli cities with thousands of missiles. They have also breached the Gaza barrier fence and infiltrated into Israeli-occupied territories, gaining control over vast areas near the barrier. The unprecedented offensive has left at least 800 Israelis dead and nearly 2,400 injured. Fresh Israeli airstrikes that leave four more Palestinians in Gaza dead in the Khan Yunis area. A few minutes ago, major explosions happening again in Gaza, and unfortunately, we're expecting the death toll to rise. Meanwhile, Israeli helicopters have launched fresh attacks on the border region between the occupied territories and Lebanon. Israeli army spokesman has announced an observation post belonging to the Hezbollah resistance movement has come under its helicopter attacks. Lebanese media reported artillery shelling and gunfire near the town of Daira at its southern border. Earlier today, Israeli forces killed at least two men thought to be infiltrating into the borders of the occupied territories from Lebanon. A Hezbollah official has denied that its forces are conducting any operation inside of the occupied lands. The resistance movement did, however, confirm that have fired dozens of rockets and shells at Israeli positions in the occupied Sheba farms. Hezbollah says the attack was launched in solidarity with the Palestinian people. And, of course, those attacks on Gaza unfortunately continues as we speak. Meanwhile, the leader of the Gaza-based resistance movement, Islamic Jihad, says the only way for Israel to cut its losses is to admit defeat and give in to Palestinian demands. In a televised address, Ziad al-Nakhla said resistance fighters are holding dozens of Israelis, including 30 by the Islamic Jihad alone. He said they will only be released if Israel frees all Palestinian prisoners. Nakhla said the Israeli army is weaker than many believe, and Palestinian resistance fighters humiliated it during the Operation Al-Aqsa flood. He added that Israel cannot break the will of Palestinian fighters now by destroying their homes and killing civilians. The Islamic Jihad chief stressed that these crimes would instead add to the Palestinian strength and resolve. Staying with the story, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman has slammed as unacceptable the Western support for Israel in its aggression on the Gaza Strip.
Unfortunately, we're still witnessing that there are certain parties that have always been supportive of daily crimes perpetrated by the Zionist regime committed against the Palestinian people. They are still attempting to kind of change the positions of the oppressor and the oppressed. And regardless of the infringement of 75 years infringement of the Palestinians' rights by a usurper regime, and without taking heed of all these crimes committed in the decades before by the Zionist regime against the Palestinian people. So in the recent developments, they're still standing by the side of the oppressor and go to its support against the Palestinian nation.
Kanani said in his weekly presser that the U.S. and some European governments are resorting to psychological warfare against Palestinians and seek to pose the oppressor as the oppressed. He added that Western governments have closed their eyes to Israeli crimes and brutality. Kanani also hailed the substantial global support for Palestinians and their resistance, including by Muslim countries. He called on Muslim nations to step up their political and spiritual support. Kanani also called for an emergency meeting of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation over the Gaza developments. And more breaking news that Hamas has defended the Al-Aqsa flood operation and said it's a response to the desecration of Al-Aqsa Mosque by Israeli settlers. And of course, we know that throughout this year, there have been many incursions by Israeli settlers, and the Palestinian resistance continue to say that Al-Aqsa is their red line. And again, Hamas is reiterating that the Al-Aqsa flood operation is in response to those incursions. Meanwhile, the Iranian president has expressed support for what he calls the Palestinians' legitimate self-defense. In a message to the Palestinian nation, Ebrahim Raisi said the Israeli regime and its supporters are responsible and must answer for endangering the security of regional nations. He said the events unfolding in Israel illustrate that tyranny and injustice against Palestinians and the desecration of Al-Aqsa Mosque won't last forever and will provoke resistance. Raisi stressed that the equations have changed and warmongering is to the detriment of Israelis, while Palestinians will emerge victorious. Earlier, Raisi discussed the developments in Palestine in separate phone calls with Ismail Haniyeh and Ziad al-Nakhla, senior leaders of Palestinian resistance movements, Hamas, and the Islamic Jihad. Well, Iran's mission to the United Nations has hailed the Palestinians' anti-Israel operation as a legitimate defense against decades of oppressive occupation and heinous crimes committed by the regime. The mission, in a statement, said the Islamic Republic continues its unflinching support for Palestine, but the Operation Al-Aqsa Flood has been carried out solely by Palestinian resistance groups. It also said that the success of the operation is a testimony of the Israeli regime's biggest failure. Iran's UN mission added that Israel finds it difficult to accept this defeat at the hands of Palestinian groups. It said Israelis are rather attempting to justify their failure and attribute it to Iran's intelligence power and operational planning. More breaking news, this time out of southern Lebanon, where at least seven Israeli troops have been injured during clashes with Palestinian forces. Again, that is out of southern Lebanon, where at least seven Israeli troops have been injured during clashes with Palestinian forces, and hopefully we'll get more information on that situation there. Meanwhile, a well-informed official in the Palestinian resistance group speaks of some Israeli forces assisting with the Al-Aqsa flood operation against the occupying regime. In a report published by Iran's Tasnim website, the Palestinian official gave new information on Israeli soldiers cooperating with resistance groups since long ago. The report says the information provided by regime forces was used in Operation Al-Aqsa Storm to infiltrate Israeli military bases around Gaza. The collaboration was not limited to intelligence. It also included supplying equipment to Palestinian resistance groups. The collaborators are known as the Palestinian Secret Army that is responsible for taking weapons from Israeli warehouses. Well, the European Union has suspended all aid paid months to Palestinians following their operation against Israel. The EU Commissioner, Oliver Varhaley, says that the move will affect all payments and projects worth over 690 million euros until further notice. Over the weekend, the European Commission's headquarters was illuminated by the Israeli flag. Its President Ursula von der Leyen repeatedly has stressed the EU's steadfast support for Israel. Well, the U.S. also immediately announced its support, saying it will send fresh military aid to Tel Aviv. Meanwhile, Iran says the U.S. and some European governments are resorting to psychological warfare against Palestinians, seeking to pose the oppressor as the oppressed. Well, the multi-front operation by the Palestinian resistance groups against Israel has forced a number of international airlines to cancel their flights to Tel Aviv. Germany's flag carrier and the largest airline in Europe, Lufthansa, says it has canceled all flights to and from Tel Aviv, citing the current situation. Air France says it has halted Tel Aviv flights until further notice. Other airlines either are canceling or suspending flights, including the Emirates, Ryanair, American Airlines, Austrian Air, and Air Canada, among others. Israeli flag carrier El Al also said some flights operated by foreign partners were canceled. The Palestinian mission to the United Nations says Israel needs to change course amid the regime's onslaught on the Gaza Strip.
Regrettably, history for some media and politicians start when Israelis are killed. Our people have endured one deadly year after another. We came to the Security Council month after month, warning of the consequences of Israeli impunity and international inaction. This is not a time to let Israel double down on its terrible choices. This is a time to tell Israel it needs to change course, that there is a path to peace where neither Palestinians nor Israelis are killed. It is time for an immediate end to the violence and the bloodshed. And it is time to end this blockade and to open a political horizon. We chose the peaceful path to achieve our rights, but Israel continued using blunt force against Palestinian lives and Palestinian rights. Israel cannot wage a full-scale war on a nation, its people, its land, its holy sites, and expect peace in exchange. We have been calling for a different rationale, a different approach. Justice, not vengeance. Freedom, not occupation. Peace, not war. Our calls should be heeded. The alternative is playing out under our very eyes. You cannot stand for peace if you do not stand up to occupation. Do it because it is the right thing to do, morally, legally, politically, and because it will save lives. Peace will save lives because it is the only way forward.
People have marched in several cities across the United States in support of Palestine. Protesters say the Palestinians have the right to resist in the face of Israeli crimes.
Get that shit. Yeah, well, we're here as part of the Palestinian diaspora, and we want to show the world that when Palestine rises up in resistance, the diaspora rises with it. You know, we are an interconnected movement, and, you know, we are here to show solidarity with our people in Palestine and to say that Palestinians have a right to resist. They have a right to resist under international law their occupation. And we've been suffering for 75 years at the hands of a regime that is, you know, founded on ethnic cleansing, founded on violence, and has been, you know, erasing and displacing our people for decades now.
Day in and day out, Palestinians are harassed by Israeli settlers. Not just the government. It's on all fronts, on all forms of life, of living. Palestinians day in and day out are facing aggression, are facing threats to their livelihood.
Well, people in various other countries have also taken to the street to voice their solidarity with Palestinians. Thousands of people marched in the Turkish city of Istanbul to support the Palestinians' battle to defend their homeland. In Germany, a rally took place in Berlin with a crowd chanting, "Palestine will be free." Nigerians also hailed as heroic the Palestinians' Operation Al-Aqsa flood. Meanwhile, Lebanon, Kuwait, and Jordan and Iraq saw similar rallies. And in Iran, people celebrated the resounding victory of resistance groups and their ongoing battle against Israel. Yemenis also staged protests in the capital Sana'a and the cities of Saada and Hodeidah in support of Palestine. The situation remains volatile in the West Bank amid exchange of fire between Israel and Gaza-based resistance groups. Israeli forces have killed around a dozen Palestinians in the occupied territory since the start of Operation Al-Aqsa flood. On Sunday, regime troops opened fire on Palestinians near a military checkpoint north of Al-Quds. Three Palestinians were killed and nine others wounded. Elsewhere in the West Bank, Israeli forces shot and critically injured a young Palestinian in the city of Al-Khalil. He later succumbed to his injuries. Another Palestinian youth was killed by regime troops near the city of Nablus. The Israeli military had killed six Palestinians in the occupied West Bank on Saturday. And with that, brings us to the end of this World News edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, launched by the Palestinian resistance group Hamas, has sent shockwaves across the occupied territories, forcing settlers to run for their lives. It seems countdown has begun for the end of the fabricated regime of Israel. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Kayhan International wrote, Resistance forces rewrote history on October 7 in a heroic defensive operation inside the 1948 occupied territories of Palestine that shattered the myth of military might of the illegal Zionist entity and breathed fresh life into the Ummah and all conscientious people of other creeds who were of late dismayed at the treacherous turn of events by certain timid rulers of unelected regimes of the Arab world in meekly submitting their necks to the Israeli yoke. There were scenes of jubilation all over the free Muslim world, not its part under the repressive rule of unrepresentative regimes that never allow people to express their Islamic aspirations. On hearing news and seeing pictures of fighters of the Hamas and Islamic Jihad liberation movements in a lightning operation dubbed Al-Aqsa Storm, taking control of several illegal Jewish towns, torching Israeli military bases, capturing tanks and armored vehicles, making occupiers flee in panic, and herding scores of Zionist soldiers into Gaza as prisoners of war. The racist terrorist regime of child killer Benjamin Netanyahu admitted that over 100 of its troops had been killed and 1,000 others injured in the surprise attack. According to independent observers, this means more than 300 Israeli troops may have been killed and several thousand injured as drones and rockets rained down upon them in Sderot, Sedi Boker, Arad, Dimona, Ascalon, Tel Aviv and even Quds, while commandos of the resistance used paragliders to land in parts of the occupied lands and engage in hand-to-hand combat with the shell-shocked Zionist forces. In response, the Zionist entity has launched an aerial attack on Gaza that has so far martyred some 200 Palestinians, mostly women and children, but has not daring to send any ground forces for fear of losing more military personnel to imminent death and capture. It is said that at least 7,000 missiles were fired by the resistance forces who still control Sderot and other illegal settlements built for Zionist thugs, infiltrating the usurped land of Palestine from Europe and the US, and have vowed to extend their heroic operation into the occupied West Bank of River Jordan. In Washington, London, Paris, and Berlin, the enemies of Palestinians and Muslims are horrified that their latest devilish plot to trap certain timid and treacherous Arab regimes into what they erroneously call the Abraham Accord had clearly failed. In Beirut, Damascus, Amman, Baghdad, Sana'a, Tehran, and other cities of Iran, as well as in Pakistan, thousands of cheerful people took to the streets to celebrate the astounding victory. Analysts are already discussing that if a few thousand rudimentary rockets could paralyze the Zionist entity, if the whole resistance front, backed by the entire Muslim world, decided it was time to launch the much-awaited liberation war, the Zionist regime will collapse in a day, since it is weaker than a cobweb. The Ummah has never lost hope in the liberation of Palestine and Al-Aqsa Mosque, and is confident that if the Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem could be ended by a united Muslim force of Kurds, Turks, Arabs, and Iranians, in 1187, after 88 years of precarious existence, why not the current 75-year usurpation by the Zionist entity for which the countdown had already begun? Meanwhile, Press TV wrote, in a meeting with the participants of the International Islamic Unity Conference recently, which is held every year to commemorate the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, wrote the obituary of the Israeli regime. In his enlightening address, Ayatollah Khamenei likened the push for normalization by some regional countries with the Zionist entity as betting on the losing horse. He predicted that such normalization is bound to fail, as the Palestinian resistance has pushed the Zionist regime to the brink of extinction. Recently, a week after his remarks, the Palestinian resistance movement in the Gaza Strip launched a surprise attack on the occupied territories involving aerial, sea, and ground operations. Described as the most devastating military operation since the 11-day war in 2021, the Gaza-based Hamas resistance movement launched Operation Al-Aqsa Storm in the early hours of Saturday, October 7, firing at least 5,000 rockets and capturing many Israeli regime troops. Daniel Hagari, an Israeli army spokesperson, was quoted as saying that the resistance group attacked the occupied territories from land, sea and air, starting with the initial burst of rockets at 6:30 a.m. local time. Dozens of Israeli regime troops and illegal settlers are believed to be dead in the Palestinian operation, albeit the exact figure is still not known. Press TV added, interestingly, the well-coordinated military operation by Hamas, which has also got the support of other Palestinian groups, followed Ayatollah Khamenei's warning against normalization with the Zionist regime. He told the guests in a speech televised live, "The Islamic Republic firmly believes that governments that have the normalization gamble with the Zionist regime on their agenda will be in harm's way. This regime is dying and those states are betting on the losing horse." Regarding the political dimension of the equation, Ayatollah Khamenei asserted that the situation in Palestine, marked by the colonial occupation, constitutes the most significant challenge that the Ummah has faced in recent decades. This underscores Palestine's role as a focal point for the Muslim Ummah. The leader of the Islamic Revolution highlighted the crucial role played by Palestinian youth in the struggle against the Zionist colonial system, emphasizing that the Palestinian resistance movement will ultimately succeed in bringing an end to the illegitimate regime and its collaborators. In this context, he reiterated the significance of unity between Muslim nations to confront the Zionist threat and pointed out that, currently, the Zionist regime is displaying its political animosity not only towards the Islamic Republic, but also towards other countries such as Iraq, Syria, and Egypt. Ayatollah Khamenei said if the countries in the region unite, the U.S. will no longer be able to show aggression, plunder, or interfere in the internal and external affairs of other countries, citing the case of Libya, specifically the overthrow of Gaddafi, as an example of the Western policy of plunder. He said, as cited on his website, if countries such as Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and the Persian Gulf countries adopt a united policy in their fundamental and general affairs, the aggressive powers will not be able to interfere in their internal affairs or in their foreign policy. They are interfering at this point. His speech indicated that the unity between these countries is crucial to thwart Western plots against their regional countries as well as the Israeli regime's aggression. Ayatollah Khamenei explained that the primary reason behind calls for the burning of copies of the Noble Quran in the West is the threat that the Muslim holy book poses to the Western political agenda. His words should be understood from an epistemic and political perspective, meaning that the Holy Quran presents a fundamentally different paradigm from the Western one, which ultimately aims at the continual pursuit of justice and engagement in multi-pronged struggles against oppression. In political terms, this call for unity aligns with the ummatic aspiration of the Islamic Republic and specifically its central role as a significant Islamic power or as a political home for Muslims. The centrality of this ummatic vision is crucial to understanding the Islamic Republic's politics. Politically speaking, it can be said that the ummatic vision represents an effort to transcend sectarian differences and create a Muslim political identity to transform the world.
The Ocean of Dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil Brothers and sisters, in the previous episodes, we concluded that there are different effects and actually different benefits for supplication. We concluded that the first effect of supplication is that it fills out the gaps existing in human nature. The second benefit of supplication was that it meant glory and grandeur. It brought this kind of glory for the human beings with which they could confront the challenges in their lives more easily. And this is the secret beyond those that we have seen in the history that stand in the right path, those that never give up. And all those divine men, all those prophets were always victorious. Prophet Moses, Prophet Abraham, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the cases that we can actually see. The third effect of supplication was that it actually meant belief in the Almighty Allah. But what does it mean? How is supplication related to belief in the Almighty Allah? We said that since human beings are full of needs and their life means finding different ways and methods to satisfy these needs, so men are always looking for assistance, and this means that if they believe in the Almighty Allah as an assistant, they will engage in worshipping and supplication. Now, we were having a look at different verses of the Holy Quran recommending the remembrance of the Almighty Allah. This verse of the Holy Quran reads, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Therefore, remember me, I will remember you, وَاشْكُرُوا لِي, and be thankful to me, وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ, and do not be ungrateful to me. So, what does it mean, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me so that I will remember you? This, from one aspect, could be discussed in this way, that actually the Almighty Allah is the one who gives human beings grandeur and glory. What does it mean? I will remember you. This is not a mere verbal glorification. Being remembered by the Almighty Allah means that I will pay attention to you differently from the others. You are the one who remembers me. Remember me and I will remember you. I am the one who gives you glory and grandeur. When human beings are conceived, when the human beings are persuaded that they are remembered by the Almighty Allah, this fact, this knowledge, this trust and this belief means they can easily confront the problems. They can easily confront any kind of powers and superpowers. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. This means supplication is the embodiment of remembrance of the Almighty Allah. What is supplication except remembrance? وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُوا. And be thankful to me and do not be ungrateful to me. This means that remembrance of the Almighty Allah brings forth the grounds for gratitude to the Almighty Allah. And this is really important.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God and the mercy of God will come towards you.
It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable.
knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of Dua.
So, as you were with us, dear listeners, we were discussing the verses of the Holy Quran that discuss the concept of supplication. So this verse reads, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُ. And we said that it actually prepares the ground. This remembrance of the Almighty Allah prepares the grounds for the people to be thankful to the Almighty Allah. وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُ. And this thankfulness brings about and causes the grounds for not being from among those who are ungrateful to the Almighty Allah. This is really interesting. And most importantly, in the other verses of the Holy Quran, we saw this phrase, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. But this, here, it says, فَذْكُرُونِي, remember me. In the other verses, it was about, the discussion was about the different blessings, the divine blessings that should be remembered by the people, to be grateful to the Almighty Allah. But this means you should remember me, myself, personally, and I will remember you. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Iran's membership in the BRICS group of emerging economies is a significant national, regional, and international development, which is important both to Tehran and BRICS members, including China and Russia. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Press TV noted, in recent years, there has been a lot of focus on Iran's membership in global political and economic organizations, institutions and groups in order to spur economic growth and provide a ballast in the face of geopolitical and structural changes. BRICS has gained a special place in Iran's foreign policy due to its increasing importance in the international political economy and geopolitical developments. The Islamic Republic has good political relations with all five main members of the BRICS group, consisting of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Tehran is motivated by the international prestige. the geopolitical and geoeconomic linkage with the emerging world powers, and the regional and international status which joining BRICS can potentially bring in. New economic partners are about to come out of the woodwork after membership of BRICS, and access to new financial resources, technological findings, knowledge-based production methods in agriculture, food security and trade could enable Iran to better deal with the hobbling impact of sanctions. BRICS is developing internal institutions for integration and increasing effective economic power in order to support development programs of its members and strengthen their regional and international position. The establishment of financial institutions independent from Western institutions can be considered the most important success of BRICS in promoting convergence and its most important advantage in the new global economic structure. Two financial institutions within BRICS are the pillars of the group's power, which also offer opportunities for Iran. The New Development Bank of BRICS is the most important economic pillar of BRICS, created with the aim of forging convergence among the members in the world economy. The bank was established in 2014 with the initial authorized capital of $100 billion to finance infrastructure projects in BRICS countries and other emerging markets. It is headquartered in Shanghai, China. According to the agreement, the bank shall support public or private projects through loans, guarantees, equity participation, and other financial instruments. Another key institution established with the aim of strengthening financial convergence among the members is the BRICS Contingent Reserve Arrangement, CRA. It is a framework for the provision of support through liquidity and precautionary instruments in response to actual or potential short-term balance of payments pressures. Although U.S. financial sanctions make it difficult for Iran to access the resources of these two institutions, BRICS has adopted various methods under its de-dollarization scheme to provide loans and services to members, which can reduce the impact of the sanctions. The New Development Bank uses methods such as providing loans in the national currency of BRICS powers, cryptocurrency and currency swaps. Bear in mind that Iran's integration into the BRICS economic framework is fraught with challenges as regards alignment with the economic policies, regulatory mechanisms and commercial laws and regulations of the main and new members. Ensuring the coordination and syncing of the domestic bureaucracy with BRICS institutions in areas such as customs, tariffs and investment regulations requires time and complex expert reviews. Nevertheless, the geoeconomic benefits of the membership are so many that any misgivings are roundly misplaced. As a full member, Iran would have closer economic relations with other member countries, which can gradually lead to increased business and investment opportunities. This cooperation can include various sectors, including energy, production, agriculture, and technology, and provide access to new markets and potential sources of foreign direct investment. Joining BRICS would also give Iran the opportunity to diversify its economic partners beyond the current circle. The BRICS countries have an overall population of more than 3 billion people, which potentially provides a vast consumer market for Iranian goods and services. This diversity would reduce Iran's dependence on a limited set of business partners and increase its economic resilience. Membership in BRICS also increases Iran's regional influence and geopolitical position. It enables the country to interact with emerging economies and have a say in shaping global economic and political affairs. In addition, Iran can actively participate in regional projects and contribute to the development of convergence in the region. By becoming a member of BRICS, Iran would access the financial resources of the BRICS Development Bank, NDB, and the Contingent Reserve Arrangement, CRA, to fund the development of infrastructure, energy projects, and other potential priority sectors. This can help to solve part of Iran's development needs and spare long-term economic growth, even though access to the resources of these institutions under sanctions would be difficult. Iran is a large producer of oil and gas, and its membership in BRICS can strengthen closer cooperation on energy security initiatives. BRICS countries, especially China and Russia, have significant energy needs. They can potentially cooperate with Iran on energy exploration, production, and infrastructure development. This cooperation would improve Iran's energy sector and provide ways to diversify exports. Meanwhile, BRICS countries stand out for their advances in technology and innovation in the developing world. Iran's membership in BRICS can facilitate the exchange of knowledge, carrying out joint research projects, and technology transfer, which could enable the country to increase its technological capabilities and competitiveness in different sectors. This can help Iran's economic modernization and reduce technological gaps with other countries. Iran is facing the most draconian U.S. sanctions, which has limited the country's access to global markets and financial systems. Joining BRICS can potentially give Iran more leverage in international negotiations and potentially reduce the effects of some sanctions. Moreover, the collective power and influence of the BRICS countries may provide a platform to defend Iran's economic interests and reduce trade restrictions. BRICS countries have forged increasing cooperation on agriculture and food security. Iran, with its diverse agricultural sector, can benefit from the best methods and joint initiatives through knowledge exchange with the aim of increasing agricultural productivity, production, and distribution of foodstuff. This cooperation can help Iran's food security goals and strengthen its agricultural sector. Finally, Iran's membership in BRICS can activate the Russia-Iran-India corridor, facilitating exchanges among the member countries and provide access to Eurasian resources along the Belt and Road Initiative stretching from China to Russia up to Central Asia and beyond.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.